ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रह्लाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स। तस्मादहं विगत विक्लव ईश्वरस्य सर्वात्मना महि गृणामि यतामनीशम् नीचो जया गुण विसर्गम् अनुप्रविष्टा भूयेत येन हि पुमान् अनुवर्णितेन तस्मादहं विगत विप्लव ईश्वरस्य सर्वात्मना महि गृणामि यतामनीशम् नीचो जया गुण विसर्गम् अनुप्रविष्टः भूयेत येन हि पुमान् अनुवर्णितेन। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। देयरफॉर ऑल्दो आई वॉज बोर्न इन अ डिमोनियक फैमिली I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Purport. It is clearly understood that a devotee does not need to be born in a very high family to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful. None of these qualifications will engage one in devotional service. With devotion, one should feel, God is great and I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yascha smitatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj decided to offer his best prayers to the Lord without consideration of his material position. So, we are on the chapter where Prahlad Maharaj is pacifying the Lord by offering suitable prayers, and today's verse is one of the very, very powerful verses, you can say, and also is a verse which gives us hope also, where Prahlad Maharaj is expressing his inability to glorify the Lord, offer suitable prayers. But at the same time, he says that whatever is my capacity to express my feelings, I'll do it for you with all my endeavor, as much as my intelligence can take me to offer the prayers. And that's how he approaches Lord Narasingadev. And when Prahlad Maharaj is expressing, it is natural that he'll be expressing that way, because what can you expect from a five-year-old child? Anyone who has a child can understand. You have a five-year-old child, you tell him to chant, very difficult. You have all the environment, all the facilities, but still the child will do exactly opposite. he's into so many different ways he has to enjoy. And even if he wants to also, it's so difficult. Like yesterday, my youngest daughter, she is now approaching 5 years. She told me, "Papa, just teach me one verse. I have to speak in the class." So I just took one verse and I was trying to teach her. And after 5 minutes, she said, "Now enough. Now you tell me a story." So what can you expect from a five-year-old child? Difficult. But here, you know, Brahmaji actually pushes Prahlad Maharaj in front of Lord Narasingadev and says, "You pacify him." And Prahlad Maharaj is trying to, you know, like in that mood of insignificance or worthliness, he is approaching the Lord. He says, "What can I offer to you?" But at the same time, in the previous verse, he is mentioning that even, you know, Gajendra could offer. That means somebody who did not have a human body, but an animal body, even he could offer. So even I will try to do that as far as my intelligence can take me, and I'll offer. So this is the mood of Prahlad. And this particular verse gives us hope also, because he mentions that anyone who has been forced by material, by ignorance, to enter this material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. And Prabhupada gives a very nice purport. And he says how that one need not have any material qualifications. He need not be born in a very high family or aristocratic family, or he need not be educated, or he need not be beautiful to offer prayers. In one of the discussions, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, what the Lord needs is only expressing his feelings to the Lord. That's all. He doesn't need anything else. You may recite wonderful prayers and you may think that, "Oh, I have offered so nice prayers to the Lord." But if it is not with feeling, then the Lord will not accept it. The simple example that you approach a rich person and you boast about your own glories to him, and then you say, "You give me some money." He will not be so inspired to do anything, or he may not be able to reciprocate with you. But if you go to a person and you express your feelings, you express your inability, you express your poverty, and then the rich person will be able to do something for you. So this is what, you know, is expressing of feelings. Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are three types of prayers. Prarthanatmika, then second one is what? Dainya Bodhika, and the last one is Lalasamai. Samprarthanatmika means like, you know, expressing a feeling of attachment, that I want to be with you, or I want to be attached to you. Like Prabhupada gives an example, like a boy and a girl are in love with each other. The boy wants to be coming very close to the girl. That is Samprarthanatmika. Dainya Bodhika means expressing yourself as unworthy or expressing yourself as insignificant, and in that mood, you know, approaching someone who is great. And that's Dainya Bodhika. And that is what here Prahlad Maharaj is expressing, this particular feeling. And Lalasamai is what is like trying to, you know, express attaining perfection. That is, you know, at a very, very higher stage. But Dainya Bodhika is that a devotee has to feel. But as sadhana bhakta, you know, if we are told to offer prayers, well, we do it, you know. But when you offer prayers, means it's really there's a lot of weightage in the prayers, actually. When you go and approach the Lord and you offer your prayers, it's not very cheap. It is requires lot of endeavor in our own sadhana bhakti life, actually. You just can't come and say, "Okay, I am praying for you, I am offering prayers." It's easy to say, but actually, in what mood, how, you know, that takes a long, long, struggle, you can say. First and foremost, that a sadhana bhakta has to realize, in order to offer a very sincere feeling, is to understand the power of the association of the Lord or power of association of the devotee of the Lord. Here is mentioned, apavitra pavitrova sarva avastam katopya yasmare pundrikaksha sabhaya bhyantar suchi sri vishnu sri vishnu vishnu. Whenever Srila Prabhupada would give initiation, he would always chant these prayers, that wherever you are purified or unpurified, anyone who remembers the Supreme Lord Krishna is purified from within and without. That's the power of association, that when somebody remembers the Lord, he becomes purified from within, and also he becomes purified from without. And more so, when somebody is in touch with a very, very pure representative of the Lord, when somebody is in touch with a pure representative, then, you know, he naturally feels that and he understands the power of that association. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this particular verse where Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains all these categories of people. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya, Yeneja Papa Yad Apashrayashraya, Shudyanti Tasme Prabhavishnave Namaha. Mentioning different categories, and all these categories are lower than the Shudras. Like Kirata, Huna, Andra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Kasha, Adya, etc. Yeniya cha papa, all these people were engaged in the sinful activities. Yad apashrayashraya, means when you take shelter of someone who has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, shudhyanti tasme prabha vishnave namaha. That person becomes completely purified. And tasme prabha vishnave, I offer my obeisance to that personality, prabha vishnave, that is powerful personality, vineve namaha. So one has to understand the concept of understanding the Lord's power, that Lord is powerful. By coming in contact with the Lord's holy names, coming in contact with the Lord's devotees is very powerful. In the Nectar of Instruction mentioned, the Lord is apapavidyan vishuddha sattvam. He is always pure and is free from sins. So when somebody comes in contact, by remembering or being in touch, then one becomes purified. So at least intellectually one has to come to that understanding, that yes, I understand that Lord is, you know, having this power. And not only that, Lord's pure duties also have that equal power of purifying you from all the sins. And once you come to that understanding, then actually you engage into practical devotional service, the practical aspect, that rendering service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And in what way? In a mood of reverence, not in a ragatmika style, but in a mood of reverence, or in reverence. You accept the instructions from the bona fide spiritual master, and you engage into practical devotional service. And when you do that, then, you know, slowly you go to the next step of getting attached. You get attached to the Lord's service, and when you are getting attached, you become also deeply absorbed in that particular service. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he was preaching to the in the West, those who was Srila Prabhupada he was preaching to, they hardly had any concept of devotional service. They never knew who Krishna was. Not only that, they were engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. As I was reading from the memories of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Yamuna Mataji was talking about her own, that it was her sister's wedding and Srila Prabhupada was cooking a very big feast. And Yamuna, she entered the kitchen in a skirt and a short shirt, which, you know, in Indian concept, we would not even think about like that. And as soon as she came, she wanted to smoke a cigarette. And said, Prabhupada, can I smoke cigarette? Now, just imagine, that was a consciousness at that time. And Prabhupada said, no. Then he explained all the regulative principles, that these are the four regulative principles that you should follow, and you should not do this. No? That's okay. Then she wanted to do something. Then she touched here, touched there. He says, no, you should be always very clean. You should not touch any items which are not clean. So Yamuna Mataji was saying that we were so, you know, like fallen, that we didn't know anything about it. And Prabhupada taught us everything right from the, you know, insignificant, smallest, which anyone else over here would be understanding, which would know. But there, that concept was not at all there. Concept was not at all there. As Shyam Sundar Prabhu, also in his, as all of you also know, that he was told to carve the Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities. And as he was carving the Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities, he was carving, but not, when Prabhupada came inside to look at what's going on, he was carving, but he had a cigarette pack on top of Baldev's head, which was there, you know. And Prabhupada said, what's this? He says, this is some cigarette, some Palmart cigarette or something like that, I don't know, some cigarette brand. And Prabhupada said, how much you are smoking? So he mentioned, he said, you should smoke one less cigarette every day, he said like that. It's okay, Prabhupada said like that. And then afterwards he made a very profound statement to him. He said that, why are you wanting this cigarette to come in between you and Krishna? And that really pierced his heart, and then he decided to leave that. But the people who were not even having the simpler concepts of life, you know, when they came in contact with someone as powerful as Srila Prabhupada, you know, they were rendering services, and as they were rendering services with a reverential mood for Prabhupada's pleasure, you know, they were slowly getting attached to the services and getting absorbed, but at the same time, slowly and slowly, their bad habits or anarthas were going off. You know, anartha nivritti stage was taking place. And then as it was going on, the devotees would constantly, you know, be more and more intensely absorbed in devotional service. And that's what happens, that, you know, that intense attachment and deep absorption takes place. When we do the Shaligram worship, after all the worship is done, then we chant one very nice verse. Ita prana buddhi dharmadikartha jagra svapna susupta avasthasu manasa vacha karmana hastabhyam padbhyam udharena shishna yat smitam yat kitam tat sarvam sri krishna arpanam bhavatu swaha mam madhyam cham sakalam haraye samarpayami om tat sat. As a living entity endows life, intelligence, body and power to discriminate between right and wrong, I offer Krishna what I thought with my mind, spoken my words, performed my hands, stomach, genitals, away while awake, asleep or in deep sleep. I offer everything I have to the Lord. That's the mood, or that's the stage a person slowly comes to. Even if it's not reached the state, by just repeating again and again and again, you know that you have to come to that stage. You try to work on it. That I offer Krishna what I thought in my mind, spoken my words, performed with my hands, stomach, genitals, while awake, while asleep, or in deep sleep. I offer everything I have to Lord. This is what that particular verse says. That, you know, intensity of devotional service is increased when you just go on serving in that mood under the direction of a spiritual master. And the result is what? That you long to serve and please the spiritual master. You yearn for, you know, pleasing the Lord and his devotees. That longing is there, that intense longing is there, that I want to please my spiritual master, come what may. I want to do whatever it's possible to please my spiritual master under any circumstances. Whatever may come, any adverse circumstances, I am ready to do anything I could to please my spiritual master, to please Srila Prabhupada. And that yearning, that longing, that develops from within the heart. And when that develops, that's a very good sign. For a sadhana bhakta, when that thing comes in his heart, that yearning for pleasing the Lord, it's not a burden no more. It's no more a burden. It's just that, you know, you want to serve him, you want to please him in any circumstances, whether it's really inconvenienced whether you are inconvenienced by it or not, you don't mind that. You just want to do that. You want to please him. And that's what Srila Prabhupada's, you know, disciples would be doing that. They would not care for anything. They would just say, okay, I want to please him. I want to do that for him. Let me do anything to please Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was in that situation actually. Prahlad Maharaj was under the instruction of Srila Narada Muni. He was remembering the Lord and very much absorbed, and he was very, very, you know, longing to please the Lord in whatever way. And he was undergoing so much of tormentation by his father, Hiranyakashipu, but he did not mind that. He just went ahead with his services. He just went ahead. He was continuously going on. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him through so many ways, but still he did not waver, because he wanted to please his master. He wanted to please the Supreme Lord. And when you have that, what happens? You eclipse all material conditionings. Whatever material conditionings you have, you eclipse that. And here Srila Prabhupada also here mentions about it, that for service to the Lord, it doesn't matter whether somebody is born in a high family, somebody is a very rich person, somebody is beautiful or somebody educated. No, all these things then become insignificant, or maybe it is completely, you know, not been concerned or considered also. We see how that, you know, somebody who did not have this, you know, Krishna, how he reciprocated with them. Vidura's wife, when Krishna was invited by Duryodhan to come and have lunch, Krishna, instead of going to him, he went to Vidur's house. Vidur was, Shudra, from Shudra, born of Shudra woman, and it's called Shudrani. Krishna, when he went to the house, wife of Vidura just offered the pretext of serving the Lord, forgetting that, you know, she was offering something else. She was peeling the banana and offering the peel and not giving the banana, and Krishna was accepting that. And Krishna was accepting it in very, very, loving way, because that thing was offered with love. It was that Krishna did not see any material conditionings in that. Talking about aristocracy, we all know about Sudama. He was not at all a rich person, poverty-stricken person. But Krishna, when Sudama went to Krishna's house, just with some motivation, but ultimately Krishna, he washed his feet, he took him to his own room, washed his feet, and, you know, snatched the puffed rice from his hands and ate it. He was ready to eat the second morsel. At that time, Rukmini said, stop. About education, the wife of the Yagic Brahmins, they have hardly, they were not educated. They never knew the Shastras. They only heard about Krishna's glories. And when the Yagic Brahmins refused, Krishna said, go to the wives and they will give you. And they so much readily just gave it. Krishna was ready to accept the offerings by the wives of the Yagic Brahmins, who were not literate. And beauty, Kubja, she wanted to serve Krishna. She wanted to apply sandalwood paste, and, you know, Krishna accepted that. She was not a very beautiful female. She was a hunchbacked woman. Right? We see in the Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela also, how Haridas Thakur, what parentage he had. He was born of a Muslim family. But then he was Namacharya. He was an outcast by the social standards. Not allowed to enter any temple, and you untouchable. But still, he was made the Namacharya. He was made the, Acharya of the holy names. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would long to have his association actually. We would run to meet him. Every time he would have darshan of Jagannath, he would go and run to Siddha Bakul to have his association. That's what Lord Chaitanya would do that. He would be hankering to go over there. And what about aristocracy? Kshidar Koleja had no aristocracy. He was a poor person. As Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions, that the rooftop had more holes than the roof itself. Every time, you know, it would be raining heavily, completely drenched. And what did he have? He had no money at all. Hardly had any money. But he had the greatest wealth. He had the chanting of the holy name. He was chanting regularly every day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, as a small child, Nima would come and steal banana leaf and cups, plates from him, and argue for hours and hours. And Sridhar Koleja had nothing. Shuklambar Brahmachari, he would be begging at every doorstep. Nobody knew. It seems in Navadvip, nobody knew who Shuklambar Brahmachari was also. But when one day Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting his supreme opulence, that time he called Shuklambar and then he snatched the pieces of rice from his bag. And Shuklambar said, "What are you doing?" And Chaitanya said, "I don't mind having the chipped rice from your bag, but I will not have anything from a non-devotee." He actually ran to him. He actually took it from him. It is not that he offered. Please accept it. We have to do all these things. Please accept. We have to say mantras. But here, there, the Lord actually snatched it away from him. But what qualification he had? Nothing. He had no money or anything like that. And as far as education, you all know, illiterate Brahmin. Everyone was making fun of that Brahmin from south, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to him and said, "What are you doing? What are you learning, studying?" He said, "I'm studying Bhagavad Gita." He said, "I do not know anything. I open the book and close the book, open the book and close." He says, "Then I cannot, only because my spiritual masters told me I'm doing it." He said, "Then why are you getting tears in your eyes?" He says, "When I see Lord Krishna taking the reins of the chariot of Arjuna, then I feel that, oh, such a great person, supreme personality of becoming a chariot driver of Arjuna, that makes me have tears." And then Chaitanya says, "You have understood. You have understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita." And as far as beauty is concerned, Vasudev, the leper, he was completely infested with leprosy, so much of, you know, boils on his body that worms would just come and eat all his flesh. And whenever a worm would fall down, again he would take it out and put it over here, you know. So when Lord Chaitanya, on his way to south, he met Kurma Brahmin, and then he was leaving that place. After he left, when Vasudev the leper came to know about it, he just came to this place. But after knowing that the Lord is gone, he was lamenting. But such was the power of his devotion to the Lord, that the Lord had to take a U-turn again, come back, and then give his darshan to Vasudev the leper. And he embraced him. Vasudev said, "What are you doing?" He says, "People don't want to come to me and you embrace me." And after embracing, he got a very beautiful body. And he said, "Now I got a beautiful body, I may become proud." He did not want to have that. He was very satisfied serving the Lord in that situation. But when he got a beautiful body, Lord said, "As long as you go on chanting Hare Krishna and give this now to others, you will not become unnecessarily proud." Prabhupada translates like this, unnecessarily proud. And he says, gives the same instruction to him. And Vasudev, he took that instruction. So, you know, whatever material conditionings anybody has, in any situation in life, when he is completely absorbed in some service, then that becomes insignificant. Then the only concern about devotee is, you know, serving the Lord, and the devotee becomes, you know, glorious in the eyes of the Lord. Lord accepts the devotion of that particular devotee in spite of all the conditionings. All the conditionings. Whatever conditionings. Here we are taking only those aspects as far as Janma, Aishwarya, Shruti and Shri. But in any condition, whether it's a young, old, incapable, whatever, it doesn't mean that somebody who is capable is not fit to become, you know, like we have example of, you know, somebody of high parentage like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who also took shelter of the Lord very nicely. We have someone like Raghunathas Goswami, who was an aristocratic person, he came from an aristocratic family. He also took shelter of the Lord. Someone like Roop and Sanatan, who are educated, they also took shelter of the Lord. What is really here important is that from the heart, considering your inability or you are unworthy of that particular mercy. When you are in that situation, you are impoverished in that situation, then you can take shelter of the Lord. So you actually yearn to please the Lord and the Supreme. And when you do that, actually that's when the Lord rewards you. He rewards you with, how? He rewards you with that realization. And what is the realization? That I am insignificant, I am unworthy, I do not have any qualifications. And in that mood, then you really, offer prayers with feelings. And when you have that thing, then you realize, oh yes, this is the mercy I have received from the Lord, actually. The Lord is very happy when you serve in that way, and He rewards you with that realization. Prabhupada, in a lecture, he mentions that, how Krishna likes varieties. Krishna likes varieties. Just imagine, everyone offers the Lord in a stereotype fashion, There's no much fun. Krishna loves varieties. And anyone, somebody in a different situation offers, like how we are talking about this, somebody who has no high parentage, somebody who has no education, somebody who has no beauty, somebody who has no aristocracy offers, somebody is young, somebody is old, somebody is a woman. Krishna accepts the devotion from all these categories. Krishna loves varieties. Prabhupada mentions that. Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he says, Krishna likes varieties. And he says, variety is a mother of enjoyment. Variety is a mother of enjoyment. And Prabhupada gives an example. He says, like, you have the same sabji, the same ghee, everything is there, but you make varieties of preparations. Similarly, in this nature, there are so many different types of flowers, different types of aromas. Supposing, imagine all the flowers have the same aroma, what is the fun? Or if all of them are the same color, same texture. No, but then different flowers have different aromas, beauty is different. Then also fruits, different types of fruits. So when you offer them varieties of fruits. When there is a Janmashtami, Radhashtami, what do? You try to offer wonderful. Sometimes you find that on the day of festivals, different colored flowers are on the, adorning the Lord's wonderful spiritual body. And it's very beautiful. It enhances. So many wonderful flowers offering. So Krishna likes that. Krishna likes that variety. As Prabhupada says, Krishna, when he goes in the morning, he's with the cowherd boys. He likes to be with the cowherd boys. He likes to be with the cows. Then when he's in the evening, he comes back, then he wants to be with Mother Yashoda. And he expresses the Vatsalya Ras. And with the gopis, he exhibits a different relation with them, Madhurya Ras. So Krishna likes varieties. So even, Srila Prabhupada mentions, even Vaishnavas like varieties, So that's what he says. So Vaishnavas also like varieties. So this is the mood, actually, that when everyone offers, whatever situation, that's like actually an offering. In whatever situation you are offering your devotion to the Lord. Krishna accepts that, and Krishna is very happy. Well, in this situation also, he's offering, accepts that, and he loves that. Just like Vaishnavas like varieties means, sometimes when you meet someone, we want to know how you came to Krishna consciousness. And not two people have the same way of coming to Krishna consciousness. And that's, you enjoy that. Prabhu, how you came to Krishna consciousness? And you feel nice, you feel excited to hear those wonderful stories. And every story is a different story. After 20 years also, if somebody else tells a story, he has a different variety of how he came to Krishna consciousness. So this is what, Krishna likes, that variety. So reward, realization that I am insignificant and Krishna is great. Here Prabhupada is mentioning that one should feel that God is great and I am very small, and therefore my duty is to offer my prayers to you. So when you get that realization that I am insignificant and I am unworthy and Krishna is great, That's when you will feelingly offer prayers to the Lord. Till that time, it will be just a lip service, basically. That I am sitting, standing in front of the Lord and just praying, and then go and do all things, whatever you want. But when you come to the Lord, and only when you think yourself insignificant, and when you appreciate the Lord's supremacy, Lord's glories, then you can chant or express your feelings, your real feelings. And that's what these great devotees, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, through their songs, bhajans, they are expressing such feelings. Narottam Das Thakur says, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gwanaino, I have wasted my life, my dear Lord. I have knowingly drunk poison. And then in the end he says, you know, Aha Prabhu Nandasuta Vrishavanu Sutita, oh my dear son of Vrishabh Nanda Maharaj, you know, Karuna Karo Ye Baro, please bestow a mercy upon me. Narottam Dham Dasakoy, Nathaliyo Rangapai, Toma Bina Kyache Amara, without you there is no one, please bestow, I am fit for mercy. When Rupa and Sanatan met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, we are worse than Jaga and Madai. At least they did not, you know, serve a Muslim, but we were. And Narottam Das Thakur also says, you know, Gauranga Karuna Karo, Dinayana Jane, he says, we claim that recipient of your mercy because we are the most fallen. And you are called as Patit Pavan, that's why we are fit to receive that mercy. We are qualified to receive the mercy. That is the feeling they express. They do that, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Manas Deha Go Jo Kichimore Arpilo Tuvapade Nanda Kishore. That I'm offering everything. Manas Deha Gya Jo Kichimore Arpilo. So, it is said that when you are in this situation, then you can actually feelingly express this prayers. Then it will not be like, you know, a feeling with just because you are have to offer prayers. You genuinely, with love, you express those feelings, thinking yourself insignificant, and then praying for the Lord for His unlimited mercy. So this is what I wanted to share with you. Thank you very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. शिल प्रभुपाद की जय. एंड जस्ट वॉन्टेड टू से दैट दिस इज हाउ यू कैन एक्चुअली दिस अ व्हाट इज एक्रोनिम फॉर प्रेयर दैट व्हेन यू अंडरस्टैंड द पावर ऑफ एसोसिएशन यू रेंडर इन अ रेवरेंशियल मूड एंड देन यू इंटेंसली एब्जॉर्ब यूर सेल्फ इन द सर्विस एंड व्हेन यू डू दैट यू यर्न फॉर द you know, to please the Krishna Lord. And when you do that, what happens? You eclipse all material conditionings, and in reciprocation, Lord rewards you. And that's how you get a prayer. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Prabhu.